In the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Be on your guard. Stay awake, because you do not know when the master of the house is coming, evening, midnight, cockcrow, or dawn. If he comes unexpectedly, he must not find you asleep. What I am saying to you, I say to all. Stay awake. Mark 13:35-37. You know, after hearing today's gospel, one can imagine a biblical literalist sitting at the attic window every night, fighting off sleep and peering into the darkness in hope of seeing the Lord return in glory. For the rest of us, however, a more practical method of remaining alert and watchful for the Lord and His coming is needed. What keeps us alert? How do we stay watchful? Well, caffeine helps to keep us alert, but only for a little while. Getting enough sleep helps, but the simple and most effective way to stay alert and watchful is to be entrusted with a living faith. There was once a bishop who was strolling through the cathedral gardens with his staff, and he asked what it was the church needed the most. Christian schools, said one. No, replied the bishop. We have good schools where young people can learn sciences and art and are taught the faith. What's needed is more churches, he said another. No, replied the bishop. We have magnificent temples for people who are invited to pray. What we need, replied the third, is learned priests. And the bishop said, No. He said, even the apostles were ignorant. What we need, the bishop said, mostly in today's church are truly committed Christian laymen and laywomen. That bears repeating. What we need mostly in the church today are truly committed laymen and laywomen. When there is pessimism in today's world, it is the people of God who shatter its darkness with the joyful hope in which we wait with Christ's advent. When there are negative factors in the world, it is Christ faithful who watch with a sharp eye for the works of goodness and mercy that can be done. The rejection of violence, respect for human persons' rights, the desire for freedom, justice, and solidarity. These, among other things, are the endeavors challenging Christian laity to bring Christ into the world. Might I suggest you invite a neighbor or a co-worker to accompany you to services during this holy season? You might be surprised at the outcome. If we knew the exact date we are going to die, how would we live our lives differently? Most likely, we would get up early and go to bed late. We might spend more time with loved ones and less time watching television. And priorities would shift from the moment that we learn our death date. The important would become trivial, and the trivial would become important. That's the kind of intense focus that Isaiah and Mark invite us to today. St. Francis de Sales, the great 16th century bishop and spiritual writer, thought a little bit differently. One evening after dinner, he was playing pool, and a young man asked him what he would do if he learned that his death were to occur in a few minutes. And pointing his stick, he replied calmly, "I would go for that 7 ball in the left pocket." His point being, if we are in a right relationship with the Lord, we don't have anything to worry about. By the time Advent begins, we have already been subjected to two temptations. The first and the most obvious is commercialization. When major retail stores begin replacing their back-to-school displays with Christmas decorations in late September, we are in real danger of losing the sense of Advent as a time of preparing for the coming of Christ. It has become almost a point of honor in some circles to see who can be the first to complete his or her Christmas shopping. The second, slightly less obvious temptation is the historic, the birth of Jesus Christ in place and time. Advent is not about getting ready for Jesus' birthday, but about bracing each one of us for the full revelation of the incarnation mystery. Rachel Reeder, in her book, God in Our Time, says Advent and the Christmas season, or the seasons of Christmas and Epiphany, are, quote, feasts of the Lord, not historical commemorations. The incarnation, she continues, celebrates a wedding, a union of the divine and the human nature, and ourselves as the object of God's great love and tenderness. The themes of watchfulness, vigilance, and attentiveness that were present in the readings these past 3 weeks become more insistent and intense with the opening of the Advent season. The words of the gospel ring out, "Beware, keep alert, keep awake." The psalmist says, "Shine forth, stir up your might, come and save us." And Isaiah cries to the Lord, "Tear open the heavens and come down so that the mountains would quake at your presence." Psalmist, prophet, and evangelist unite in holy expectation and an ardent longing for the coming of the day of the Lord. Their openness to the shattering, shaking reality of the Lord's coming and the new age it ushers in challenges us to open our eyes, our minds, our hearts to the mysteries of the Advent season. They invite us to seek the deeper, vital, transforming spirit of the season, to prepare ourselves for the awesome possibilities of the great coming that are a far cry from either the sentimental or materialistic approaches to Advent that narrow our vision and cloud our sight. Among those who understood and accepted the challenge of Advent was a Jesuit priest, Alfred Delp by name, who was imprisoned and eventually killed by the Nazis during the Second World War. Writing from his prison cell only a few weeks before his execution, Delp voiced his recognition of Advent as a time when we ought to be shaken and brought to the realization of ourselves. And I quote him, "Being shattered, being awakened, only with these is life made capable of Advent." This shattering, which was personalized for Delp in the horrors of World War II, and for us in the troubles besetting our own country and many other parts of the world, offers the chance to open our lives and respond to the Advent mystery, aware that it is high time to rise from sleep and keep awake. Sharing the depth of the age-old longing for liberation, redemption, and the inauguration of God's reign in all its fullness, joining in greatest and earnest prayer that God shall tear open the heaven and come. We are called to join in preparing the way for the breaking of the Lord's justice, the foundation of God's reign among all nations and peoples on our earth today. Although linked to the great deeds of power witnessed by our ancestors in faith, God's power, stirred to action by our prayer, calls to us from the future. Rather than focusing our attention on the past, we are invited to look ahead and to live as a church community in expectation, people waiting the return of the Lord. And although we do not know when the master of the house will come, we are called to live in steadfast faith, believing in Jesus Christ, whose coming is certain, whose day draws near. Living in a spirit of expectant faith offers us an opportunity to revive the flame of desire and hope for that glorious coming, a flame we often allow to grow dim when the waiting seems long and our efforts to promote justice and peace seem fruitless. Focusing our watchfulness through the practice of meditative prayer, we may become aware of the arrival of prophets among us, messengers who predict the Master's return. Although their works might appear simple, or their actions they ask of us may seem insignificant, yet our willingness to respond is sufficient to begin shaking our complacency, shattering our comfort, or opening our eyes to the presence of God's reign already here and still to come. The power of God calling to us from the future through Christ in the Spirit, touching us in novel, creative, radical, unexpected ways, fills us with the strength for the work of renewing all creation, fostering justice, forging bonds of peace. Despite the ravages of armed conflict, threats of terrorism, or corporate greed, God's power, stirred up by our prayer, responding to our longing and expectations, is coming to deliver us, to free us from the chains that bind our body and spirit, and to bring light, warmth, and healing to all. As we open ourselves to the shaking and shattering of Advent, for the Advent mystery, let us pray with an ardent and expectation. And I pray, above the clamor of violence, let your word of truth resound, O God of power. Over nations shrouded in despair, may your justice dawn. Grant us a discerning spirit and a watchful eye to perceive the hour in which we live. Hasten the advent of that day when weapons of war shall be banished, deeds of darkness cast off, and all your scattered children will be gathered as one. We ask this through him whose coming is certain, whose day draws near, your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, God forever. Amen.